Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Roger, we got a roll for
tower clear.
Roger, roll.
Well, my dear friends all over the world, greetings, greetings. This is Martin Horst speaking on BBS Radio with my program ET First Contact Radio. And we are in the fourth year of doing this beautiful show. I want to welcome everybody because this show brings all of us the latest galactic news. And I do have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Miriam Knight. And Miriam Knight was a senior business executive, pardon me, who made a midlife shift into the spiritual path. Upon moving to the US from England, she published a holistic journal for 7 years. Then she founded New Conscious Review, ncreview.com, a review magazine and website that showcases the people, books and films inspiring personal and global transformation. She also hosts an award-winning weekly author review show that provided the foundation for her new book, What Wrecked the World? Tales of Conscious Awakening. A native of Venezuela and citizen of the world, Miriam has lived in 4 continents and speaks 4 languages. She has a BA in Romance Languages and Psychology from Boston University and a Master in Psychology from the University of Virginia. Now, dear Miriam, without further ado, I want to heartfully welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here, Martin.
Well, it's a very big honor for me to have you on the show. And I must say that I know a little bit about Venezuela, because the Andes Mountains are on the west coast of South America. They are actually the spine of Mother Earth. And I know that the Cordillera in Colombia, they split in 3 Cordilleras, which are mountain ranges. There's Cordillera Occidental, which is the western mountain range, going around the corner from the Pacific and then a little bit into Panama. And then you have Cordillera Central, which is going to the east towards Venezuela. And then the Cordillera Oriental, which is completely going around Venezuela. And then actually up from Tobago and Trinidad into the Caribbean islands. They are forming the mountain ranges, actually forming the islands. And I think that our Creator has made this planet so beautiful, but especially this part of the planet with Venezuela and Lago Maracaibo and all the beautiful mountains from the Cordilleras Los Andes, that it's very special that you are from that region, because I think that South America is a very sacred region in the world. It's the nature there is still untouched.
Well, in many places, in many places, it's really under threat. So,
oh, yes,
it's a very special place.
Mm. Miriam, as I was reading about you in the introduction, you have made a midlife shift onto the spiritual path. Well, I'm 37 years old. I'm reaching my midlife, but since I was a child, I was very sensitive, etc. And I admire that you have completed your studies, because that is still important in the world of today. But maybe it's even important to awake to the spiritual path, which many people are doing right now all around the world. So, what happened to you, and what made you aware of the life of spirit, and what kind of insights has it brought to you? So maybe you can explain that to the listeners. I'm very curious what happened to you.
Well, I'd be delighted to. First of all, I just want to preface it by saying that awakening takes many, many different forms, as many different forms as there are people. And, you know, the spiritual path or the path of spiritual exploration is also very individual. In my case, it actually started secondhand because my a dear friend of ours killed himself, and then he started trying to communicate to his son through my husband. And it was really quite overwhelming because it kind of blew him open psychically, and he was able to see and hear things about people in the street and in pubs and so on. We did manage to get a message through to the son, but it started us reading everything that we could and going to expos and workshops and trying to understand what was happening, because we were both very left-brained corporate types, and speaking to dead people was not really in our reality. The more we studied, the more our mind opened to these possibilities. We both felt that we needed to shift what we do in the world. My husband had been a lawyer and a merchant banker, and I was an executive jetting around the world half of my time. And we both became healers. My husband became a hypnotherapist. I became an energy healer. And we moved to beautiful Portland, Oregon, primarily because we just felt that the climate here was very welcoming to spiritual exploration and the kind of things that we had now become interested in.
Well, that's amazing. My sister has been in Oregon. I would love to see it. And I know that James Gilliland has a ranch on the border of Oregon and the state of
Washington, in Trout Lake.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with James Gilliland?
Oh, yes, I've been there many times. He does wonderful summer gatherings and UFO watchings at night. I have some absolutely mind-blowing photographs of orbs. I have a great photograph that I took at night where you see the people on the ground level, and the sky up above, and in between there is a ripple of energy. So everything is in focus, but you see this incredible ripple of energy, which I think is some kind of portal or vortex. Totally amazing picture.
Is there a way that people can watch that picture online? Did you share that on your Facebook or somewhere? Is there a website that people can see that those pictures?
Well, I actually did share it on Facebook, but I'm happy to maybe post it to you or share it again. Absolutely.
Yes, it will be very interesting for many listeners to become friends with you on Facebook. You know, the beautiful thing about Facebook, I think, is that all the light workers and investigators into the paranormal and to ETs and ufology and spirituality are all connecting and coming together. Isn't that wonderful?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's sort of like the physicists are looking for the unified field theory.
Exactly, yes. Well, about the unified field theory, are you familiar with Dean Radin and Erwin Laszlo? Because Dean Radin is the author of Entangled Minds, and he actually proves from quantum mechanics that we are all connected in a unified field of consciousness. But there's also a guy called Erwin Laszlo, and he gave me an enormous awakening in 2004 with his lecture in Amsterdam about the integral theory of everything, and that he describes the void and our prime creator, and all life forms in the whole universe are all connected, and that's so beautiful.
Well, in fact, Martin, Erwin Laszlo wrote the foreword to my book.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Wow.
I've interviewed him a number of times. He is a national treasure.
Yes, yes, yes. He was the founder of the Club of Budapest. As well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I would like you, if I may ask you, Marion, to share your knowledge and to share maybe the most compelling theories or insights, spiritual insights that you have, and that you want to bring over to the people so that they can maybe use that in their daily lives, or you can give any advice or talk about some of the contents of your books. Maybe it's a good idea to let you talk about that. I would love to hear that.
Very happy to.
Okay.
The people in my book, there were 37 interviews that I did. Each one has their own story to tell. So some of them, but there are common themes and common conclusions. So some of them had kind of a traumatic event in their life. It could have been a near-death experience or an accident, you know, a physical accident where they were forced to lie in hospital for months, or a dark night of the soul where their life had just taken such a terrible, hopeless turn that they kind of gave up. They gave in, and they called out for help. And this is one of the things that we don't appreciate. As we go about our daily lives, we think it's us against the world, you know. We have to do all the time. We have to win the battle against everybody else. And the fact is that we are never alone, and we are always surrounded by spirits, by guides who are more than willing to help if we only ask for help. And so the fact that we're not alone, I think, in and of itself, could be a big shift in so many people's thinking, because I think loneliness is one of the devastating plagues of this society. Another common theme is that we are here for a purpose, that purpose is individual, and that we crafted it before we came into this life, that our journey in this life is to experience, is to add to the quantum of experience, of creation. And if you will, we could call that quantum, that plenum, the universal mind. We could call that God, we could call that cosmos, Atman, whatever you feel most comfortable in referring to it, but it's all that is. And we are a part of that greater whole. And when you think of that, that we are really all a part of the very same greater whole, then the conflicts that we have artificially invented over religion, over beliefs, over politics, just lose their meaning. They become meaningless. It's like arguing with a part of yourself. So that's insight number two. Insight number three, and not in any particular order, of course, is that we are eternal beings, that we continue to exist beyond this incarnation, that this incarnation is, this body is a little earth ship that we wear to experience physical reality. But the greater part of us continues forever. I could go on, but why don't I take a breath and let you ask a question?
Yes, that's a good idea. Well, I just want to say that you did 37 interviews in your book, Miriam, and the number 37 has occurred time and time again over the last past year or so. Now, 37 is important in many ways because 3 times 37 is 111. And the 3 and the 7 are in this together. I'm very much interested in numerology. But also, Marion, my birthday was last year on March 7th, and I became 37. And 2014 was a 7. And another thing is that the flight that disappeared, the MH370, disappeared on my birthday. It was actually, I was flying from Brussels to Zurich to go to a conference with Michael Monk. And while I was flying on my birthday in Malaysia, it was 10 hours later. And at the moment that the MH370 disappeared. Now, MH are my initials, Martin Horst. And 370 divided by 10 is 37. Mm. I became 37. Now, Alkesh has, he is the most watched interview I have on YouTube, already taken 38,000 times. And Alkesh talks about the missing flight in his documentary, the Etheric Chronovisor, which is available on YouTube. And soon there will be an interview with him. It might be interesting for you to hear that, Miriam, with Alkesh, where he will talk more extensively about the situation of the passengers from MH370. Because what I understand from him is that the ruling elite or the Dark Cabal did something with some technology. They wanted to destroy the plane because there were people on board with high knowledge about zero-point energy and other things. But what happened is that the technology was not yet perfected, and the plane became in a situation where time is frozen. So they are actually stuck in time. And it's very difficult to imagine that, but they are, let's say, between the third and fourth dimension. They are kind of floating within realities. And because people are fearful, they cannot get out of that situation. Their body doesn't age, they do not get hungry, because as I said, time is frozen. But as soon as one of the passengers opens up spiritually and connects to the Syrians, then the Syrians can save the plane and bring it back into our 3D earthly reality. Now, hopefully that happens, and when that happens, imagine the plane returns and lands on an airport, then that will create disclosure.
About time that we had disclosure, but you know what is so interesting about that description is, you know, the metaphysical principle of as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
Eben Alexander, have you interviewed him? He's a neurosurgeon from Virginia who wrote a book called Proof of Heaven.
Yes.
And he flatlined and was in a coma for 6 days. And he describes an experience of when he first passed over, of being in like a dark underground place where like there were worms and roots of trees and things like that. And it was only when he lifted his awareness and actually conceived of the a spiritual dimension that he actually was able to pull out of that level and lift it up to meet the guide who later turned out to be his sister. So it's just interesting to think of the parallels. And I think it also points out just the fact that we have talents, we have abilities that we don't appreciate that we have. We have intuitive abilities that we're not aware of. And if we tune into them, if we cultivate them, then we are able to kind of transcend and use these to guide our way through a complex world.
Yes, indeed. Oh, but in to comment on your question, even Alexander, I received since maybe 3 or 4 years his newsletter, and I always read it. And he's an amazing person. He has amazing information. Now, the beauty with the internet is, as I said before, Marion, that all this information is coming together to a large audience, and this audience is growing every day. Every day, people are waking up.
Indeed.
Yes. Now, yes, go ahead.
I was just going to add another maybe story from the book.
Yeah, that will be interesting. I'm very curious about the book.
There was a chap called David Bennett who was a deep sea diver, and he was diving during a terrible storm, ended up drowning, and he had the only recollection that he had of getting back onto the shore was that he was actually pulled by Archangel Michael. But what I found so fascinating that I hadn't heard in other stories of the near-death experience was that when he went for his life review, and this is a common theme in near-death experiences, you go through the tunnel of light, you have your life review, and so on, you see your whole life flashing. But when he saw his life, he saw it not only from his perspective, but also from the perspective of everybody else that he had interacted with. And so even if he was not very kind or if he did bad things, he felt the pain, the anger of the other side. And I thought this was a really fascinating point to make because everybody surrounding him had only unconditional love for him, but it was he who was his own worst critic.
You know, drowning is a very intense experience, and I always find people that come back from a near-death experience when they have been drawn very touching and fascinating. And somehow the stories from people that have remembered being and on the other side from that have drawn are somehow a little bit different than people with other types of near-death experience. Do you agree on that?
Well, I think there are both individual recollections and there are a lot of common themes. I mean, we had a Dutchman, one of your countrymen, Pim van Lommel, who... Who is in the book, and he's a cardiologist who started seeing that many of his cardiac arrest patients were coming back and telling stories of the period that they were unconscious. And he compiled them, recorded them into a book, and they had many similarities to the classic near-death experience. So that's what converted somebody who was a medical scientist, you know, an evidence-based, rational person, into believing that there is existence, that there is a consciousness beyond this existence. And that's what Ervin Laszlo is talking about. Mm. He's talking about this consciousness that permeates the Akashic field.
Yes. Yes, that is so true. Ervin Laszlo made a lot of impression on me during his lectures 10 years ago. Now, Miriam, I have read Sheldon Neidl's message last Wednesday. I have read Mike Quincy today, which came out earlier. It was expected for tomorrow. I mean, Salusa's message, Cobra's message, and Alkesh is saying things. David Wilcock is saying things. Benjamin Furthorpe is saying things that many things are on the verge of starting to come out, like the currency reset, a disclosure, the arrest of the cabal. Oh, by the way, I just this evening read a message that some of the ruling elite gave their enormous wealth to the people and have surrendered. So what is your gut feeling saying about things coming to a conclusion?
I certainly see that there is an exponential increase in what I would call awakening, conscious awakening. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, people are awakening to different aspects of reality. Remember the parable of the blind men and the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
When each one is feeling a different part of the elephant, and because it's their direct experience, they are totally convinced that the elephant is like a tree trunk or like a snake or like a jungle or like a brick wall. And this is the same thing, I think, with revelation. I don't think revelation has stopped. People are still connecting with energies that are in a different dimension. Because we are on this side of the veil, we are in a limited form in this incarnation. We have a limited ability to understand the messages that we're getting. And so we interpret them through the vessel that we are, through our range of experience. And what we need to do is to accept and integrate the different messages that are coming from different places, but to use our discernment and to use the understanding that these messages are all being delivered through human beings who have a limited perspective. So use your discernment, pull together and accept what feels right to you. Use your instinct, use that gut navigation system that mm-hmm. God gave you.
Yes, very important. Yes. Do you see? I see a acceleration of awareness and awakening taking place already in the last 10 years. But I must say that in the last few, let's speak about the energies. The last few days and weeks, the energies are so amazing. What are you experiencing in the feelings you have, the dreams you have, and the energies? What are you feeling?
I just kind of had this feeling that as we passed through the new year, that it was like a log jam opening up. I think things are going to be going faster and faster this year. I really agree with you, Martin, that it's almost like a flywheel just going faster and faster and faster. It really is an exponential opening. I have been in the States, back in the States, for about 14 years. And I remember the big impact that movies like The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know, I mean, go back earlier and you've got the Abraham books, you've got the Seth books, Jane Roberts, Esther Hicks. I mean, these all started opening up consciousness. But at the time that they came out, that was considered fringe. Nowadays, that's practically mainstream.
Yes, indeed. And the Hicks are, I think their book is sold, well, I have no idea, but I believe in the millions, and translated into many languages. The beauty is that so many people are teachers, like yourself, teachers that are open-minded and that learn every day and gather knowledge about all the beautiful, because we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, and religion and other belief systems have for so many years kept people in a limited consciousness and a limited belief system. And it's so beautiful that to see people waking up. And these are the times that the ancients were talking about, and I know that for sure. Miriam, do you see a worldwide, well, I can call it an event or a tipping point, or do you think there will come a moment where everything will shift and the whole world will know?
I don't think it's going to be a moment. I think it's a process, because there are just so many energies pulling backwards. I do believe that the awakened energies have a leverage effect, have a greater power to influence others than their numbers would suggest. Is there going to be an event? I think there. As I said, it's going to be a process, but I think probably we are already seeing these events, and I think the biggest characteristic of these events is that it's a mass agreement, a mass uprising. The Arab Spring uprising, even the awakening of the Black population in the United States in the wake of the killings of the young men. These are all kind of mass movements where people are coming together in their hearts and saying, enough. You know, the Wall Street protests, people are starting to see the reality behind the stories that we're being told. They're turning off from the mass media. They're getting their information from the internet, from groups. And you have to be careful, because there's a lot of disinformation on the internet as well, and that can take you down rabbit holes and waste your energy. So, again, be discerning. But understand that the change is coming, and the change has to start within you. When you change the people around you, just through the power of your understanding and insight. So we are all part of this shift that's happening. And if each one influences just one or two other people, it's unstoppable.
Yes, I totally agree with this. I also agree that it is a process. But what I mean with the tipping point is that it's not that suddenly everything will change in the blink of an eye. But what I believe is that the process is accelerating every day. More and more people are waking up. What I'm getting at is that maybe soon we will reach a moment that so many people will have their awakening. But also even people in the mainstream media, you know, and regular scientists, mainstream scientists, So that
and
when
I see that happening, Martin, don't you?
Mm.
It's happening already.
Yes.
You know, I interviewed Greg Braden yesterday. He has a new book called The Turning Point. And
wow.
He makes the distinction between a tipping point and a turning point. A tipping point is kind of a kind of cataclysmic event where,
yes.
For example, the world just gets to a certain point in temperature and then suddenly we're dropping into an ice age. Whereas
mm-hmm.
the turning point is when you see the signs on the horizon,
mm-hmm.
the warnings, and you still have time to make a choice to make things better. And these turning points are ahead of us in every different realm of human endeavor, in the financial arena, the economic arena, in the environmental arena. He also makes an interesting point about climate change, because he's a geologist by profession. And, you know, he's saying that, yes, we have to choose alternative fuels and stop our contribution to global warming. But these are natural cycles. And what is important for us is to prepare ourselves, to prepare the alternatives when the climate changes by 5 degrees, it will be a major catastrophe for people who think that agriculture is going to continue as it always has. We have to predict where the changes are going to be and prepare alternative systems to deal with them.
My dear.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. I just have a visit now at my parents' house from a guy from Scotland, George Smith, who has received technology by the ETs, how to build free energy. And he is traveling all around the world and sharing this technology. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing, but it will take a while before these zero-point energies are actually viable on a commercial basis. But we do already have systems that we can use in the meantime. We have things, we have the alternative, you know, wind, solar, thermal energy sources. There are also things like thorium reactors, which is an alternative to uranium. It's not, it can't be made into weapons, and it is not subject to devastating meltdowns. And, you know, it's a shame that that's a technology that was never, you know, adopted by mainstream industries, because it's very, very costly.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Maryam, may I ask you to tell the listeners how you see the unfoldment of ascension and also your wish for humanity and for planet Earth, the scenario that you see with First Contact and ascension and the Ascended Masters coming back, how do you see that process unfolding?
I really see it from an individual perspective, that when we open our energy field, our minds, our spirits, to our true nature and to the possibility of telepathic communication, and we all participate in the collective raising of consciousness, that, I think, is something that we have the ability to do now. I think that is part of the ascension. When we reach a critical mass of awakened people who have this communication ability, this connection, and this ability to interconnect, this desire to interconnect, then I think we change the face of civilization. Whether it takes place in a different dimension or in this dimension, I just don't know enough to offer an opinion.
That's amazing. I'm just reading a message, Marion, and that's amazing. I have no details about it yet, but on RT, there's a message saying, mystery radio waves from deep space captured live, sender unknown.
Oh, I saw that a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do you know any details about it?
No, it didn't. It just recorded them. No, I didn't see any interpretation of what they were either. But it's an exciting time, Martin. It's
very, yeah. You know, I cannot keep up. Can you keep up with the amount of information and revelations that's being put out every day? I cannot keep up with it.
No, and again, you know, you have to live your life and do your own work, so ration yourself.
Yes, that's very important. Mm-hmm. Marion, I have discovered, I've always known that love is the most important quality, unconditional love in life. And I'm experiencing, when I have contact with animals or with children or with other people from different ages and walks of life, that when you live on the heart and have pure intent, then actually there's only beautiful relationships and contacts with people. Are you having similar experiences with people around you that you meet, that because of this awakening that we're all going through, we almost never have conflicts? I do not, in the last year or two, I have no conflicts with people. Somehow, I have no fights, and things are going beautifully, energetically with people. Are you experiencing the same?
Absolutely, Martin. And it's because you don't see a separation between you and them. You know, we are really all family. And that's another message that came through so many of the experiences in the book, that the nature of the universe is love, the nature of the creator, the source, is love. And when they cross over in a near-death or out-of-body experience and experience that love, it totally changes them forever.
Yes, it does indeed. I would just want to tell the listeners a little secret. Tomorrow morning I'm flying from Brussels to Bucharest, and I'm going to meet Alkesh and be at a conference in Brasov, at an Alkesh conference. And Syriac will be there as well, and we will receive information from the Syrians directly. And we'll come back on Monday. So I'm very fortunate to meet Alkesh, and I'm very excited about it. And immediately after the radio show, I will go to sleep because I have to wake up around 5:30 tomorrow morning. But have you heard about Alkesh, Miriam?
I haven't. How do you spell the name, Martin?
It is A-L-K-E-S-H. Alkesh.
Well, I'd love to learn more about him, and I will have to listen to your show and hear the full report. I hope you have a wonderful trip.
Oh, yes. You're going to be amazed by the information he has revealed in my interviews. They are on YouTube. If you type Martin Horst into YouTube, or you type Alkesh into YouTube, you're going to find his own documentaries that he made. And following up on the documentaries that he made, I made a couple of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And his information talks about the Syrians directly received, the benevolent Syrians, Amun, as a being on a mothership. And they describe what happened with Comet Eisen when it flew through the sun and came out on the other side in 2013, in the fall of 2013. And how it actually gave codes to our sun to trigger light codes that are coming to the Earth and that are affecting our DNA and that are helping with an acceleration into our awakening and our consciousness. And this information that is put into the sun by this device, by these entities, was actually an idea of Prime Creator to give this gift to humanity. And
you know, Martin, I totally buy into that. I went to a workshop just last week about a new healing system that is based on light frequencies. And wow. I tried it out. Mm-hmm. I was so blown away that I actually bought one. And it, in just two sessions, it's been clearing up broken veins, eliminating scars, relieving pain. We forget that we are vibratory beings, and it just makes so much sense that light will reignite the proper messages in our DNA. It's just such a fascinating time at the forefront of science, what they're discovering now, but the open-minded scientists.
Yes, it is. It is an amazing time to be alive, Marion. And I would like you to give a little bit more details about your book and how people can reach you and what your website is and where people can access the book and purchase it. So why don't you tell a little bit more about yourself and about your book?
Well, I would be delighted. The book is What Wags the World, Tales of Conscious Awakening. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and it can be ordered through local bookstores. I have a website for it, whatwagstheworld.com. And if you've had experiences that you want to share, just contact me through there. And my main livelihood and website is New Consciousness Review. And the website is ncreview.com, and we have a free digital magazine with reviews of really fascinating books and interviews with fascinating people. So if you go to my website, ncreview.com, just click on magazine, and you can just sign up for free there. And Martin, I want to thank you for all that you do with in terms of waking people up and keeping their finger on the pulse of what's really happening.
Well, I think we are both doing this with many others, like Greg Braden that you mentioned, Miriam. And I'm feeling part of a larger family all around the world, the listeners, the bloggers, the Facebook people, people that are channelers, mediums, scientists, military or ex-military that have seen UFOs above nuclear facilities like Robert Salas and all the others.
That's what's so important, Martin, that people who are coming forward today are mainstream, you know, people that you cannot doubt their word. They have no axe to grind. They are people from the military, business people, doctors, scientists, professors. All the people in my book are like that. So there has to be an acceptance of the messages coming through, unless people just insist on keeping their head in the ground.
Totally agree. Yes. Well, Marion, now we have about 5 minutes left in the interview. And what I want to ask you is if you can speak out your wish for humanity and for the listeners, your most beautiful dreams about our future and the time where we are now, and how you see the new world, well, maybe in 10 years or so, and how you would like to see it, actually. And how it's going to bring all the happiness. But I want to hear it from you and to know how you feel that and see that.
That's a tall order, Martin, but I will try.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the primary requirement for this age is for people to inform themselves, have an open mind, get out there, educate yourself, learn what's in your food, learn what's in your water, take advantage of all of the information sources out there and be discerning. Number two, be joyful. You know, we're not here to be intense and to fight battles all the time. Sometimes the biggest battles are with yourself. Put all of the pain and traumas and disappointments of your life behind you. That is the past. We can only create in the present moment. When you are looking backwards all the time and recreating your limitations, you're bringing them into the present, and you will never be able to be more than that. We are unlimited, multi-potential creator beings. Take advantage of that power that you have to be all you can be. Be the joyous being that you were created to be. One of the gals in the book said, there is no wrong way to do life, because everything that we have done in our lives has prepared us, has brought us forward to this day. And from this day forward, be all you can be. And remember that we are herd beings. We are much more powerful when we collaborate with each other. Find your people. Find your tribe, find your community, and band together to prepare ourselves, prepare yourself for the changes that are definitely coming towards us. Educate yourself so you have the knowledge to make a contribution to preparing each other, to preparing yourself for the future, whether it's learning how to knit, how to grow food, how to be an engineer and develop new technologies. All of these different qualities are necessary to create the world that we haven't begun to imagine. I'm a technology junkie. I love to read about, you know, the Consumer Electronics Show and all of the new ideas that are coming out. This is the tip of the iceberg. Let's, you know, let your imagination go wild, mm-hmm. and come up with new things to make for a better world. We really, if we are not contributing to the betterment of mankind, we are losing our greatest sense of fulfillment. Is that enough?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. About CES, I'm following it from internet, and one of the most interesting electronic brands that I am a long time doing research in is Panasonic, and the founder of Panasonic, who deceased in 1989, he was born in 1894. He was a Buddhist. His name was Konosuke Matsushita, Japanese. He founded the company in 1918 with the name of National, and on very old Technics and Panasonic radios, you see the National's logo with a lightning sign. But actually, it's a very interesting company it's the only multinational that was in the 80s interested in zero-point energy the way that Nikola Tesla developed it. And they are also the inventors of the new video system and television systems with 4K, where you have 4,000 pixels. And that's the ultra high definition standard, the new standard. So do you know about the history from that company, Marion?
I have heard of Matsushita, and I think he's a very, very spiritual person. I've read some articles. If you Google some of his writings, they're very impressive.
Yes, because he was doing calligraphy, Japanese-Chinese calligraphy. He was involved in the movement of Soka Gakkai International, which is a type of Buddhism that still modern Japanese and international people are holding on to from the 12th century. And for example, he invented capacitors based on bamboo instead of using poisonous isolating material like plastic. So they were the first company to make capacitors, electrolyte capacitors from bamboo. And so the bamboo plantages are taking out the oxygen or the carbon dioxide from the air, and they can be used in many different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. Yes,
we're still fighting the battle of hemp here. I mean, hemp is a wonderful material for alternative material for paper, for fabric.
Yes.
And it was banned. I learned that it was banned because it was competing with the nylon industry, and it was the oil barons who insisted that it be banned in America.
Oh, my. Yeah, we're still fighting many battles, like Monsanto and others. I want to announce to the listeners that next week, on January 29th, on ETF First Contact Radio, on BBS Radio Station 1, my guest will be Susanna Lee, PhD. Susanna Lee is a talented psychotherapist, author, artist, spiritual psychotherapist and channel. Her website is multidimensions.com, and she's channeling the Arcturians, the Pleiadians, the Andromedans. Her information in counseling and channeled sessions are amazing. So are you familiar with her, Miriam?
No, I am not, Martin, but there are so many people coming out with channel books, including me, shortly.
Wow, amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to it, to read it. So we are signing off, my dear friends. Thank you very much for being on the show, Miriam. And I wish you all the best of luck. And you can always come back to ETF First Contact Radio. I do have a two-hour show on Sunday and Monday where we can go maybe more in-depth into some material if you are interested. And for now, I want to say namaste and love and light.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.